Eve didn't exist. Right? Paul makes the argument why women shouldn't teach over man because of their reality, because they did exist, and this was the order of creation. Now, if that didn't happen, if that really wasn't true, then neither could Paul make that argument. See that? And there's other instances of this. In Romans chapter 5, let's look at that one there. Would someone read verse 14 and verse 17? Yes, please.
For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
All right. So the very point that life can reign through Jesus Christ is because death first reigned through one before him, from Adam until Moses. Now, if that wasn't true, then how are we supposed to believe that now life can reign through Jesus Christ? So one begets the other. It's a logical consequence. Of course Christ had to bring life because death was brought before, introduced by Adam and Eve. So these realities are a basis for what the doctrine is today and what we are to adhere to. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, are we going to begin to say that these individuals weren't so and that they could not teach us anything because they were just myths? Here, Hebrews 11, verse 3, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Are we going to believe that? Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, still speaks. Does he really still speak? Did he not really live so that he could die and still speak? No, he did live so that he could still speak through his death. By his life that he lived, by faith, we believe these things. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. So on and on we could go with these various instances here. The resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Again, talking about how we were first made a natural man and then a spiritual man. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Baptism. God even says that's a like figure unto, or an antitype of what happened with Noah and 8 souls being saved through water. Well, if that had never happened, then how could baptism ever save then? It's being patterned after a myth, a non-reality. No, you see, the point is, all these writers believe these things were historical facts, true, and that they were recorded ultimately by God, given to us. And so to disbelieve Genesis, to doubt, discount, and discredit the New Testament. So it has dire consequences for us to do that and to travel down that path, just so we might not seem so ignorant and silly to the scientific elite community today. We begin to actually undo our very stand for truth on a number of different subjects, to even the resurrection, our life to come, our hope. The theory of evolution and the age of the universe has made some seek to harmonize and wed current theories with Bible history. Now, I added this here. Scientific advancement may help us understand certain things better, even in the Bible. I certainly believe that. But it cannot contradict or reinterpret Bible history. See, there's the clash, ultimately. And It comes down to that question for ourselves, for every one of our children, and for all those that we're going to eventually try to meet and teach one day. How will you view this world? What prism will you see it through? Will it be through the prism of God's Word? Or through the current theories of man? And I say current because they're always changing. Right? What's believed today won't be believed tomorrow. And on one could go. Will we rest our faith on something that's solid and proven true? Or something that's always shifting like the sands? So we have to understand that. Yes, scientific advancement may help us understand certain things better about the Bible. Why it is that maybe God had them cover the refuse outside the camp, right? Or why he said life is in the blood. You know, God wasn't trying to get to a scientific point or reality about those things, but they happened to be true with science before man came along and discovered that to be so. So it may shed light on some of that. But when it contradicts what God has revealed, there's the test. And now we're asked, who will we believe? Right? So let's talk about that. In particular with the days of Genesis. They were always considered normal 24-hour days by inspired authors. Right? The 6 days of creation. And in fact, most historians and commentators, especially those that lived way before Charles Darwin, they never disputed this fact. They had no reason to, right? It's what was revealed. It's the best historical book of all time. Why would we not believe what it says about history? In Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 2, and there in verse 4, because some say, well, maybe Genesis 1 is just an allegory of what happened. Or maybe it was just, you know, God's way of putting it down so man can understand it. Except in Genesis 2 verse 4, it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. So God puts it down in black and white there to make sure that we don't miss it. That this is a historical recording. Right? It's not, I'm not speaking to Moses through signs and symbols like I did to John on the island of Patmos to write the book of Revelation. Right? I'm speaking to Moses in words that Moses understands. And this is the history of the heavens and earth when they were created. So when we read Genesis 1, oh, okay, this is how it happened. And it's up to me to believe that, right? So, one thing I wanted to mention was that when you see later on in the Bible, like we read of arguments in the New Testament, doctrines based upon the historical realities, you see that happened also in the Old Testament when it comes to Exodus 20, there, verse 8 through 11. In the Ten Commandments, if someone would read this text here, please.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
All right. Thank you, TJ. So here was the doctrine of the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, and essentially the order of the work week. And he said, this doctrine is based upon the historical understanding of God's creation week. So if the argument posed by some of our friends or brethren is that the days in Genesis were actually long ages, and that way they're able to get to us being today, you know, 5 billion years down the timeline, then how do we explain the work week being based upon the days of creation, right? If that was so, we'd still be in day one, wouldn't we? And never would have left it. Because supposedly man's just kind of a recent blip on the radar screen of creation. If the days were long ages. But they understood it. Moses understood it. Moses wrote both Genesis and Exodus. And I do find it interesting, too, that even to this current day in which we stand, and I'd like to say to the final day when this world's on fire, that we're going to continue to have 7-day week cycles. Right? Where'd that start from? Way back in the beginning. See that? So, even as a testament, a living testament, is us today. Still following the same similar 7-day week. Comments or questions about any of this? Yes, Judy. Which chapter? Job 38? Yes, that's right. That's a number of things where God speaks of his power that existed and he made it. And Job, were you there at the beginning? It was kind of his argument. Where were you?
Even to how he made the ice out of the water.
Yeah. And you have to think that there is some irony to it all. For God would say to us, where were you when I made all these things? And yet somehow you've formed these very, they almost don't want to call it a theory anymore, right? Evolutionist fact is what a lot of them like to say. Well, where were you when I made these things? We weren't. We weren't around, right? Anybody else? All right, there in Exodus 31:17, you see again Moses just kind of reiterate that fact. I'll read that real quick. 31:17, where he says, "The Sabbath, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So again, God connecting that to his creation week. We already read Matthew 19:4, Mark 10:6, where Jesus speaks about the creation of Adam and Eve. That was the beginning of creation. That couldn't be true. Jesus would be a liar if the theory of evolution was true. You see, because again, the theory of evolution says man came along at 5.3 billion years later. And we're just in this small little blip of creation right now, right? Of time space right now. So that would be that man was made at the end of creation, not at the beginning. But Jesus said, God made man at the beginning of creation. And so that settles the matter. Contextual arguments we could mention from Genesis 1. You don't even necessarily have to leave Genesis 1 to make the point that the days are not long ages. Evening and morning is mentioned for each day, right? Again, in case there was any doubt, what did a day mean to Moses as he wrote? Oh, well, it's an evening and a morning, right? Just like a day comprises an evening and a morning today. If the days of Genesis were long ages, we'd have to ask, then what interpretation do we give the years in Genesis 1:14? Because there he says on day 4, right, the sun, the moon, the stars were created, and they were given as signs in the heavens for seasons, days, and years. So again, if we're going to say that the days of creation were ages, then what would we make the years out to be? Another argument is that whenever the number is mentioned before the day, like the first day, or the second day, or the third day, all throughout the Old Testament, over 200 times where that takes place, it's always a literal day. It was always a literal day. It talked about the Day of Atonement, right? The 14th day of Nisan or something to that effect. It was always referring to a particular day. A literal 24-hour period. So when you see the first day, second day, the third day in creation, he's referring to a literal day in which God created a certain thing on that day. Oh, and here's a good argument too, from one that wants to try to wed Genesis with evolution. You're going to have problems with day three and day six. You know why? What was made on day three? That's right, flowers, plants, and trees. But what was made on day six? Creeping things, right? So insects, man, animals, right? Now, the problem is if we say that the days are ages and that there are billions of years separating each one, then you have billions of years or millions of years separating insects from plants. And we all know that they both, it's a symbiotic relationship. They require each other to survive. They require pollination for them to be able to exist. And so truly, understanding Genesis the way it was written, and not trying to create some kind of hybrid with what we understand scientifically today and the theory of evolution, just to understand Genesis by itself harmonizes more as we understand our reality now than when we try to actually merge the two. We run into actually contradictions, impossibilities, and again begin to erode our faith in the actual veracity of Scripture. Comments about any of this right here, where the days being ages? All right, let me share with you another theory that is out there, this strange gap theory. Now, if you look there in Genesis chapter 1, the gap theory goes like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Pause. Now here's this gap, they say, of millions and millions, billions of years. And there's life, there's animal life, dinosaur life, and it doesn't do any good. It's chaos. And so God destroys them all and starts over now with Genesis 1 verse 2. So there's the other side of the gap. And now comes the 6 days of creation. They say, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, of course, there's a lot of problems with this theory. In the New Testament, we see that 1 Corinthians 15:21, the Bible talks about that Adam was the first life-given being. So you don't have this gap between the days of creation and day six when Adam is made, and Eve being the mother of all the living, and then having life way before all that, and death. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that death entered in the world because sin entered into the world. And Adam and Eve were the ones that sinned by transgression. And then after that, we learn that there's a change in the nature, a change in the environment. It talks about the ground being hardened, right? The thorns. All of a sudden, the world becomes, we might say, more chaotic or cursed. And then death enters in. I was also thinking of Genesis 1:31, where if the gap theory was so, and you have millions of years of death and disease and decay that takes place before the 6 days of creation, how could God say in Genesis 1:31 that God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good? Death, disease, decay. No, he would not say that, because that's not what happened. Some artists have put it this way. If you had millions of years of the Bible, this is what you get. Think about it. You've got these millions of years of death, disease, and decay. And then finally you got Adam and Eve up there. Oh, Eve, it's very good, just like God said it was. It's such a perfect world, right? It becomes an absurdity, a silliness to believe things like this. And these artists did a good job to kind of put that together. So again, we're faced with the question, who am I going to believe? Is it going to be what I read in the inspired Scripture, or the current theories of the men in white coats, the scientists of today. Again, these theories that are always changing. I suggest we believe the Bible because it's God's word. So how do we explain a lot of this? You know, when you look at the universe, and indeed it is a mature universe. And I think that's what causes some of the skepticism and the unsurety of how do I explain some of these things. We have to understand that God created the universe with a mature stance, we might say. Right? He did not start with a big bang and then slowly evolved it any more than he started with an embryo and made Adam. Right? On day six, Adam was made. How old was Adam on day six? What is it, Tim?
One day.
1 day old. Now, how old did Adam appear?
A man.
Like a man. A man that was 1 day old. Isn't that amazing? Now, we know if a child was born today, 1 day old, we know how small and infantile they would be. But God made man fully mature. Same with the trees, right? He didn't start with an acorn that became an oak. It was an oak. Now don't ask me if you chopped it down if there'd be rings in it. I don't know. But I do know that it would look like, if I looked at that tree, as if it was many years old. But it was only 1 day old on day three. So if we can understand that concept, and we look at the sands of time, or the layers in the earth, or various kind of things that seem to indicate that there's been so much time that has passed, if we can understand and create man mature, though young, or a tree mature looking, though brand new, then the same he could do with the universe and with the earth as well. Again, comes down to faith. We believe God's word as he said it. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "It is God who made us, and not we ourselves." Evolution says it's we ourselves. We all evolved from that same one cell amoeba. But no, God is who made us. Brother Tim?
Somebody says they believe in God. Believe in this. Am I wrong in saying that they're saying God's not perfect?
Not only not perfect, but he's also not honest. He's a liar because he wrote all these things to be so. Yeah.
And the next thing, they're saying he's a liar.
That's right.
He's not perfect, but he's a liar. Would they go that far?
I don't know if they understand the logical consequences of it. Some may say, "Oh, I didn't think about it that way." But ultimately, that's where it ends, right? Because if Jesus said he made him male and female at the beginning of creation, that's either true or it wasn't true. And if evolution is so, then it wasn't true. Justin?
As far as I can tell, whether one really admitted or not, when they start to knock around ideas like this, they would be influenced by the talk of the astronomers, the geologists, the paleontologists, the biologists. I don't know how you get around it, you see. But the problem also with it, too, is that there is no harmonizing with their record, okay? They will still laugh you to scorn if you say, even remotely, that you believe Genesis chapter.
Yeah, that's right.
The gap theory, you actually believe this day one, day two, day three stuff?
Uh-uh,
no way.
That's right, that's right. This next cartoon, I think, does a good job putting that together. This guy says, look at all these Christian views of the origin of the universe. Progressive creationism, gap theory, framework hypothesis, day-age theory, theistic evolution. What do you believe? I believe the Bible. Like you said, you can't wed the two, right? They're forever separated. What will we believe? Yeah. All right, I've got two final comments, and I just don't have the time. I will let Marie make her comment because she hasn't made one tonight. Okay? Go ahead, Marie.
Just real quick, the ironic thing with science is that in order for it to be a scientific fact, you have to have a theory to back bacterial hypothesis. It has to be observed, and it has to be repeatable.
Repeatable, that's right.
None of that is the case with the theory of evolution.
That's right, and that's why it'll forever be a theory. That's right. Thank you, everybody, for your kind attention and good comments. I'll have hand out, like I said, the paperwork for Sunday morning.